Thanks for listening to D-Mac and I on the Drive. Derek Wolf here for Great Range Premium Bison, my choice for sustainable, delicious, and healthy meat. It's available at local grocery and club stores, or you can order online at Amazon.com. Learn more at GreatRangeBison.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
Hi, some NFL news for you. Baker Mayfield was claimed off waivers by the Rams. So for all you people that were just like, no, that's stupid, why would you ever do it? A team in the Rams, they're doing probably what the Broncos should have done, and they're going to get a six-week look at Baker Mayfield, and they'll go from there. It's going to cost them $1 million. Their season's going nowhere, but so what?
Small price to pay.
We want to find out what we got, so they claimed him off waivers. Not the Broncos. The Broncos picked up Jarrett Guarantano. Guantanamo. They got Jay Gitt.
Hey, news just came out.
Jarrett Gitmo.
The Rams were the only team to place a waiver on
him. Well, I mean, who are they? Except Super Bowl champions with Sean McVay, with the best owner in sports, that play at the most expensive stadium. So aside from that, what a bunch of morons.
A bunch of dummies.
What a bunch of idiots they are with the Rams. I mean, what do they know? Morons. So Sean McVay thought it was interesting to do, but I mean, he's an idiot, right? And we got Jarrett Guarantano.
Guantanamo.
Jay Gitt.
Gitmo.
Broncos signed Jay Gitt to the practice squad, and the Rams are going to see what they get out of Baker Mayfield. Dude, would anybody be surprised if Mayfield goes for like 40 points and 350 yards on Christmas Day and lights up the Broncos? I mean, seriously, would anybody be shocked by that?
No.
Jimmy G, who will soon be replaced by Tom Brady next year in San Fran. It looks like it's not over after all. Not a Liz Frank. Liz Frank is bad.
I mean, it looked bad. That knee on the foot.
Yeah.
It looked bad.
But he's not going to need surgery, and he could be back in 7-8 weeks, which gets a little interesting, right?
I wonder if it's one of those things where he could have surgery, but he's deciding not to.
Well, that would be the Gabe Landeskog sort of approach to things, but maybe he's a tough dude and hot. Both of those things. So that's interesting. So Jimmy G, somewhat in the mix, but we all anticipate Tom Brady will be the next quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. We will have a $50 gift card to Cherry Creek Shopping Center. That's within a half hour. Keep listening. Louis Riddick was on. Hey, is this from Brock Huard's show? Is this where you got it from? All right, so here's Louis Riddick, Derek, talking about Russ. This takes a minute or so, but listen to what Louis Riddick thinks about Russell Wilson.
I've seen people change situations and ask for a lot of things that they think that they want and that they think that they can do and that they think that they is going to be better for them, and have it blow up in their face. I've seen it too many times in football, and we know how this goes. We know how situations and how success a lot of times is on a razor's edge with certain players, and maybe they didn't realize how much things were set up in their favor at their previous place, and then when they go to the next place, they wind up finding out that they have some flaws that they even had a blind spot about when it comes to self-scouting themselves. I'll just put it that way. Because right now, yeah, Russ looks lost. He looks lost, and I don't know if people in Denver are sitting there saying to themselves, "Hey, man, we got this totally wrong," and that wouldn't shock me because I've seen that happen before. I've lived through it as a front office person. I've seen it happen when I was on teams with guys who came into our place where we thought they were going to be the answer to help and put one side of the ball or the other over the top, and they flamed out horribly.
Mm.
That doesn't shock me. That doesn't shock me that this is happening.
He's saying it's a decline. It's not just a dip. It's over.
I mean, if that's the case, then it is like a straight off a cliff, not a decline. It's not like a slow decline. It's been straight off a cliff.
It's Thelma and Louise. Look it up.
Yeah.
Money versus legacy.
Yeah. Is the money more important to him, or is preserving his legacy more important to him?
It's hard to say.
He'd have to be nuts to leave that kind of money on the table and just retire.
Wow. Russ retire? No way.
No.
No way.
But then you have to think. Maybe he's looking in the mirror like...
I'll tell you this, though. His chance of getting in the Hall of Fame just went in the toilet.
Gone.
If he never comes here, if he retired before coming here, not first ballot, but he gets in. Not first ballot, but he gets in. Now? Where's this going, man? Where are the better years for Russ? Hey, guys.
I don't see it. You guys, I really don't.
Well, you got to think about this, man. Who was the last quarterback that had his worst year in his 30s and then bounced back either with the same team or a different team and played better? Who was it?
That's a great question.
You're in your 30s. You go through usually what happens, Derek, you're in your 30s, you have a bad year, you become a backup.
Yep.
Joe Flacco, right? You know, he was amazing. He won a Super Bowl, and then Joe Flacco is a dip. He's kind of just dip.
Yeah, just.
And once it dipped far enough, you're a backup. Dipped into backup world. Well, Russell Wilson, kind of like Tebow. Can never be a backup. It's just too much garbage.
He was declining. He was dipping for a while in Baltimore.
That's,
you know,
in Seattle.
No,
oh, you're talking about Joe. Right.
It was like a slow dip.
Sorry.
And they kept waiting for him to like kind of get it back, and he never did. And
yeah.
And Lamar Jackson comes along, and they're like, okay, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I remember they didn't play Joe Flacco in the playoffs when Lamar had a terrible playoff game.
I know.
I mean, Lamar was bad in that first playoff he was in. And they didn't even put Flacco in that game. And I was blown away. I was like, wow, you are, as an organization, willing just to end your season here without really giving it a shot to somebody else because this is how much you believe in Lamar Jackson. Pretty crazy.
You think that Russell Wilson could pull a Brett Favre?
I do not. I don't think he's Brett Favre. I don't think he's that good. I don't think Brett Favre ever had this big of a dip either, by the way.
No.
But I don't think he's that guy. Plus, I don't think he has the copper springs and armbands, and he does not play flag football with Jerry Rice on the weekends.
The copper fit?
I don't think Russ has the copper fit. I mean, that's a couple of big things. He's not as good, and he doesn't have the copper fit.
Man. Joe Montana?
I wouldn't even say that was a dip, man. He went to the Kansas City Chiefs. I was there at that game. That's how old I am. Kansas City Buffalo, AFC Championship.
Yep.
He played in the AFC Championship for another team. Where's the dip there? The dude.
Carson Palmer.
Was he in his 30s?
Yeah, he was.
Was he in his 30s when he went to the Raiders? I don't think so, man. Oh, man, he was close. He'd be as close as you could get. You might have one right there. Because Carson had some good years after kind of going in the crapper. God, I thought he was still in his 20s, though. I could be wrong on that. You might have one there with Carson Palmer. You may have one there with Carson Palmer. Of course, Carson Palmer's like, he was 31, so he wasn't quite as old as Russ. He's 31. You know, Russ is 34. He had a birthday party. Did anybody hear about that? We talked about it for 3 straight days. Carson Palmer's a good one. You think he's as good as... Carson Palmer's also like 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
He can play in the pocket and had a huge arm. I mean, I could make this even more difficult. Which dude did this in his 30s, dipped, came back,
Kurt
and
Warner.
Was under 6 feet tall?
Kurt Warner.
6'5". Kurt Warner was a bench warmer. You're right about that. Kurt Warner's a good one.
He was with the Rams, then he was a backup with the Giants.
You got it. You got me on that.
Arizona and took him to the Super Bowl.
Was he in his 30s? He might have been in his 30s because he was
stocking. He had to have been because it took him forever to get in the
league. He was stocking shells till he was 28. Kurt Warner's a good one. Is he Kurt Warner? Kurt Warner's a first. Was he first ballot? He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
They make movies about Kurt Warner. What movie's going to be made about Russell Wilson that Russell Wilson himself isn't going to produce?
Yeah.
Nah, man. I mean,
I don't.
We can go around and around about this. We can talk about.
I really wanted it to be like a coaching issue, right? But then what I'm hearing now is it's really not. like, yeah, the coaching issue is a problem as far as an overall team goes. But when it comes to Russell Wilson's play and his decision-making, that's on him.
The biggest problem with the Broncos, sadly, is Russell Wilson.
Oh.
I know. Can you believe it? Can you believe that's actually what we've come to?
I can't believe it. I'm shocked. It's like every day I'm like, I can't believe this is where we're at.
I remember against the Colts, it was like, oh, man, they just lost because of Russell Wilson. I never thought I'd see that. I never thought of all the problems they were going to have. I never thought the problem with that Russell Wilson would lose him a game. Oh, wow, he just actually lost him a game right there. That's crazy. And now we're 13 weeks into it, and you realize, holy cow, wait a second. The biggest problem is actually Russell Wilson. So when you're thinking about change and everything, and because the biggest problem is Russell Wilson, it does mean, Derek, you actually have to blow the whole thing up.
Just eat it.
Yeah, if the biggest problem wasn't Russell Wilson, there could be a lot of other fixes. There could be. But if the biggest problem, the biggest anchor is Russell Wilson, you do got to blow it all up and start over again. All of it. There can be no more sacred cows. This is The Drive on the Fan.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat from my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.
With Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We'll have that gift card for Cherry Creek in just a little bit. So I was answering it, but you didn't answer. What do you think it is about Russ, the money or the legacy? What's your take on that?
I think the legacy is what he really cares about. I do. I really think that he cares about what he's going to leave behind in this game. As players, we all think that. What am I going to be remembered by? And does he want to be remembered as like the?
What do you think?
The worst trade in the history of the NFL.
What do you think mattered to Tony Romo?
I don't know. I didn't get to I played against him a couple times, but I didn't really pay much attention to it.
Zeke gave up. He could have still played.
Yeah, but he also had a big TV deal waiting for him.
Correct.
Russ doesn't have that.
He's got the rest of his life. Senator Wilson, I don't know, whatever his dreams are, whatever they might be.
Probably be a pretty good politician. Just lying to people. Tell them what they want to hear.
I don't know. Who knows? He wants to be a CEO or something. I don't know. Who knows? He already is a CEO.
You know what? I'm calling it right now.
What's up?
2023 Comeback Player of the Year, Russell Wilson.
Well, he's set up for it. He's put himself in that particular.
And we're gonna be like, let's ride. He's
put himself in that position.
I'm telling you.
I can see what the Broncos are gonna do.
They could. I don't think they're gonna let him. I don't think they're gonna just get rid of him.
I've been pretty clear with what I've wanted. Right. We're not mincing around. Right. You get what I wanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just want to scorched earth.
Scorched earth, go get Caleb Williams, zero it out, try to beg Peyton Manning, do whatever you need, bring in Sean Payton. I was even like, maybe Lincoln Riley, but I mean, why would he ever leave? He wouldn't. But okay, I'm pretty clear, right, what I would do. And I wouldn't waste any time with it. I would do it today. I would get, Tennessee fired their GM today. Tennessee didn't like their GM today and fired him. So you can certainly move on. They haven't, I'm clear. But here's what I bet happens, Derek. Here's what I bet happens.
Let's hear it.
George Payton is not fired. Because Greg Penner just doesn't know what he's doing. They do move on from Hackett. And they bring in Dan Quinn.
You think they're going to keep George Payton?
Mm-hmm. They're going to bring in Dan Quinn because here's why. They're going to want a coach who's coached before. Dan Quinn, although he's making a lot of money there for the Cowboys, they'll get him here. They'll cite some sort of previous relationship with Russ, like they understand each other, but really, who understands Russ? And, you know, dilly-dilly.
For the Cowboys?
He's with the Quinn, right? He's with the Cowboys right now, right? DC for the Cowboys? Yeah.
Yeah, he's still with him.
He's still with him?
Mm-hmm. He's getting paid like a head coach, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting paid big money to be there. So they'll overpay for Dan Quinn. A lot of people will like it. They will, I don't know what they'll do at OC. That'll be interesting what they do at offensive coordinator. But Quinn will just, they'll try to keep Evero as defensive coordinator. They will do everything they can to try to keep Evero. And unless Evero gets a head coaching job, he probably will be back. But maybe he gets a big raise. But Dan Quinn comes in here clearly just to be the head coach, and that's only. And then OC, I'm not sure. It'll be some Russ-friendly sort of deal. And it'll be round two with Russ. That's what I bet happens.
Yeah.
And you know, you probably...
You know why? Because it's safe.
It's. Could you think of anything safer? So now, what are your results in 2023 if you do all that? Just say that. I'm certainly within the realm of possibility, right? I haven't said anything outrageous yet. Zero. So what do you think the record is in 2023 going with that plan?
I think it all depends on what they can... How much control are they going to take away from Russ?
They have to. They will take a little bit. That will happen. They will take a little bit away from it.
A little bit? What does a little bit look like?
It wouldn't surprise me if Clint Kubiak does get hired as the offensive coordinator with Gary Kubiak coming in as a consultant, or whatever his whatever that deal was
up there. Offensive consultant.
Yeah, whatever it was there in Minnesota. Some sort of situation like that. What do you suppose their record is with all of that?
I kind of think they need to just get rid of everything.
No kidding. Me too.
But really think they're not? Like, you don't think Greg Penner's like, man, this is bad. I want everybody out of there.
I don't think Greg is an innovative football mind, and I don't think he knows football at all. I think they bought this thing thinking it was already kind of set, and they wouldn't have to worry about any of it.
You think they thought what everybody thought, that Russ was going to be, he was missing piece?
Yes. They didn't watch practice with a keen eye. Every time I was out there when the ownership was out there, it was like the royal family. Yeah. They weren't, you know, Greg Penner should have gone out there in sweats with a hat so nobody knew who he was. Mm-hmm. He should have stood on the sideline and listened to conversations. He went out there like a prince. Every time Greg Penner and his wife Carrie walked on the field, you could almost hear horns and trumpets playing.
Prince Ali.
Yeah, he goes out there the other day. He doesn't blend in. It's a news story that, you know, the guy in charge of the team is there. Look out, it's Greg! Everybody, get the rose petals for Carrie! Throw them out there! Listen, Greg, I'm trying to give you... You seem like a nice guy. I don't know you from Adam. You should put on a sweatshirt and a hoodie and a hat. Put on some sweats and go... He's in good shape. The dude's like in really good... He looks like a triathlete sort of guy in his 50s.
Who cares?
Well, you don't have to stand out. That's my point. Put away the dress pants and the, you know, button-down shirt and the suit jacket and just go out there like you're one of the coaches. Day after day after day after day. Go hear some conversations. Watch practice carefully.
Has anybody asked him why he wanted to own a football team?
Well, they did a press conference and only Greg spoke and he didn't own the team. We weren't allowed to ask Rob Walton why he bought the team. He didn't take questions, Derek. He called him Goodle, and he put Greg up at the podium.
He said, look, my daughter wanted me to buy this team. Like, I don't, what do you guys want? She gets what she wants, all right?
You know what's so funny? We keep talking about Greg. He doesn't own the team. What did my voice just do there? It's Rob Walton. That's a fair point. Where's Rob Walton in all this? You think Stan Kroenke is just sitting on the sideline, letting other people run things?
No.
Yeah, that's a good point, Derek. Where's Rob? Where's Goodle?
Where's he at?
Where's he at?
What's he doing?
Got me. He goes to games. That is true. He's been going to games.
So what's he think? Can you tell us what you think is going to happen here? What's your plan?
I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it, at what point does the owner actually look at his son-in-law and be like, Carrie, who'd you marry? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not on Greg. Maybe it's on Rob. He bought the team. I don't know. What does Condoleezza think right now? What does Louie think? What does Melody Hobson think?
I don't think they care. They're just part of an elite group, and that's all they care
about. What's Condoleezza Rice's two cents?
I haven't heard from her. Condoleezza Rice.
If you just wanted to treat, if you wanted to treat this like a toy, well, all right, here we go. Because right now we're not seeing any accountability. We're seeing nothing. All right, I'm getting too wound up. We've got to lighten the load here a little bit.
Dave Chappelle, just every time you say Condoleezza Rice, I just think of Dave Chappelle.
I know. It's funny. I'm sorry. I got to calm down. It's Hot Take Tuesday.
It's worse because of the hype that it, you know, the hopes were so high for this season. We were talking, there was arguments on whether they're going to win 9 or 11 games. It was like, they're going to win 10 games, 11 games. They might win 12 games. Right. They can't score 12 touchdowns.
We did a fun.
But you know what they do have 12 of?
What?
Bathrooms.
That's right. See, there you go. There you go. We can lighten the load here a little bit. Another bathroom joke. I gotcha. Ho, 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 Denver! Fourth call right now gets a $50 gift card to Cherry Creek Shopping Center and qualify for the grand prize of $1,000 in a shopping spree thanks to Santa's Little Helpers, Stokely and Zach. 303-713-1043. We did put a kind of a fun survey out there about the Kansas City game. Interesting results. Details next.
Go back in time.
Yeah.
Any time period. Where would you go?
Wow.
You got a time machine.
Think about that one for a second. Do I still have to be me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You, but you like put yourself in an area or a place or wherever.
I would go back to last week. No, I don't know. I would go. That's an interesting question. I should ask why you bring that up.
Because I was watching this thing last night, The Men Who Built America.
Yeah.
And it's on the History Channel. I'm a big history buff. And I was watching this thing on Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone?
Yeah. And how, I mean, awesome story, this guy.
Well, I definitely wouldn't go back to that time.
Yeah, but think about being, like, crossing the Cumberland Gap for the first time.
I got it.
And seeing that wilderness.
You ever see Seth MacFarlane, A Million Ways to Die in the West?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be the one getting squashed by the giant ice cube.
Well, I mean, think about the cojones on it, man. You got natives that are, like, just waiting to find you. That they can't wait to find you.
This is the time that you want to be back in?
Yeah. Oh, man. I just would love to, I mean, I don't want to, like, go and then live. I want to be able to come back. You know what I'm saying? But just for a little bit of time, you go spend some time there.
I get to survive whatever the time is?
Yeah.
I guarantee get to live through the time.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well,
I get to live.
You don't guarantee get to live the time. You could be killed. If you die, you die. But, you know, you could. You have like this machine that just like warps you into the space time continuum.
If I get to live, and I could live through a time, I'd want to serve for the military during World War II and be part of the United States, being part of the Allied forces taking down the Germans and all that stuff. Because I think that is the most. I'm a huge World War II buff. I think those guys
awesome.
And women. I mean, it just blows me away.
Just a bunch of just.
Well, I mean, if awesome you watch people, like man. If you watch like Band of Brothers, I mean, not only were these guys just incredibly heroic, period, but to come into say a camp and be able to just try to, you know, save some of the people, although, you know, the Holocaust was absolutely horrible. It was the one time I think that we could all agree in the world there's something that had to be done. And likely, if you want to make the argument we took too long to do it, I mean, I'd listen to you. But at the end of the day, it had to be done. And I think those are some of the bravest people on earth. And I would like to think that I could experience that firsthand. But that's asking a lot, man. Because what made them so brave, of course, was there was no zero guarantees of anything. If you want to just look at sports, tons of sports guys actually gave up their careers to serve in the country, not only in World War II, but also in the Korean War. And Ted Williams, one of my heroes growing up, even though, you know, he's Boston Red Sox, I'm a big Boston Red Sox guy. He flew planes in wars. He missed huge chunks of his life, and he wasn't taking it easy, man. He got shot down.
Yeah.
That's Ted Williams. Teddy Ballgame, baby. Teddy ball game. Great scene from Inglourious Bastards. You know, that movie is so freaking awesome that they just figured out we could end the war tonight. And they just blow up the theater. I know it's made up history, but it's just fun to actually kind of imagine. It's just done ridiculously well. But you want to go back to Daniel Boone time?
I just would like to be in that crew coming across that Cumberland Gap, man. Just seeing that wilderness is just so vast. Just full of big old giant buck deers.
It would be amazing to discover places that had never been discovered before. I'm with you on that. But it just seems you die at about 25.
Nah.
You stub your toe and you start bleeding, you get an infection, and it's over.
Well, yeah, that's why you have your little...
What?
Your portals that you hit a button and you're back. I just want to go for the moment, for that moment where you crest that gumbo, they come through that gap and they see the wilderness.
I mean, we're just going, if we just have escapable portals, there's all sorts of cool things to do.
Yeah, we could go back and check out the dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen, there's a show on Netflix right now. It's called Ancient, I think it's called Ancient Apocalypse or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's this scientist, and his theory is that the ice caps were hit, like, during the Ice Age, 12,800 years ago.
Yeah.
That the tail from a giant asteroid, right, that, like, some of the tailings landed on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what melted and rose made the oceans rise, like, 400 feet.
Dude. Science.
And that's, and there's a lot of science. There's a lot of science to prove it.
Magnets. Jesse Pinkman. Science.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could go back in sports time.
You should watch Ancient Apocalypse.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
All right, I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
It's pretty good.
You know I watch everything, so I'll go. Yeah, you don't have to twist my arm to make me watch something.
And to back up his theory, he's like, well, why were all these post Ice Age civilizations built underground and into the side of mountains and stuff like that, and as high as they possibly could get, you know? Mm-hmm. Why?
Why were the pyramids built to nothing afterwards? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it? We're done?
And guess what? That was about 12,000 years ago, too.
We just figured this out, and now we're done? That's it? Really? We're going to stop here?
Mm-hmm.
Stonehenge. I don't know. We can keep going. I'd go back in sports time if I had that magic DeLorean from Back to the Future, and I go back to the draft of 2018. That's what I'd do. I mean, if I could just play this game quickly. You want to talk about a moment that changed everything? It was taking Chubb over Josh Allen, man. I mean, you want to have just kind of a torturous mindset. Let's think about that for a second.
You can only travel forward in time.
Huh?
Take me 3 years from now, so when Russ is gone. He's out.
Wow. Fun game. That's a fun game right there. If you could go forward in time, ideally, what would it look like?
And you don't age. That changes everything. If you don't age, would you go like 1,000 years? 2,000 years? 2,500 years?
I don't think so, man.
I'd rather go back to a simpler. I'd rather be able to go backwards to a simpler time.
I don't mean to be corny or anything. I kind of like things right now, to be honest. You know,
living in the now.
I'm fine. I'm actually fine with it. You know, you of course want to be younger or healthier, anything like that. Sure. I mean, that's it'd be awesome to be a certain age or a certain physical health or that sort of thing. But I mean, I don't mean to go too deep here, but one of the great joys of my life is getting older because I've seen my kids grow up and it's been unbelievably rewarding and I've grown deeper in love with my wife.
That's cool.
And I've been very lucky that my parents' health has still, to this day, remains good. And my dad's about to turn 86.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm. That's why when I had the tragedy with my brother this year, it's the first really, really difficult thing I've had to go through in my life. And I don't have any answers to that. That my brother drowning in a freak accident was just, I'm struggling with that to this day.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because I can't make sense of it. Can't make sense of it.
You're not supposed to be able to, man. That's just the way it goes.
But overall, when I just think about what means something, that's all right. You're supposed to get older.
Yeah.
The thing that you're not supposed to do, here's what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to repeat stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I'm so angry.
You're supposed to learn from your mistakes.
You are. You're supposed to get better from it. And people who are in charge of things are supposed to know better than those who aren't in charge of things. And I really take umbrage with grown-ass people that make stupid mistakes, and it does worse by other people. Irresponsible people.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, to me, what it feels like with the Broncos, if we're just talking about the Broncos and not going so deep, it really just feels like we have had one irresponsible person after another charading as a responsible person.
To do what was best for them.
Correct.
To take advantage of a situation.
Or scared to go on a limb and do something bold.
Mm-hmm. Like cross the Cumberland Gap.
I knew you'd bring it full circle. This is the Drive on the Fan.
The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, my God. All right, you got me thinking now, man. All right. Good. Getting distracted a little bit. Our guy,
I wanted to show you, this is, remember I told you I went that 60 miles? I went 60 miles in 4.5 days?
Mm-hmm.
Look at my feet.
Oh, my Lord, dude.
Wrecked.
Dude, that's not good.
It was bad.
Was it worth it?
Totally worth it.
Did a survey here. See how you'd answer this question. I'll get back to it. Our guy, Drew, our producer, Drew, had a fun one. Let me just read. Let's see how many votes we got. Yeah, that's challenging right there, dude.
Yeah. 1.5 miles of that blowdown.
Mm.
And we were like 8 to 10 miles deep. And the only fresh water that we could find on the map was on the other side of that stuff.
It'd be tough.
And we weren't even sure if it would be.
Break your leg in that. Good luck. Is that what you were thinking?
I was ninja warrior. I was like a ninja warrior through there.
All right, so we got about 800 votes here, which is cool. The Broncos somehow ending their losing streak to the Chiefs would be one of three things. So this is if the Broncos beat the Chiefs this weekend, would it not mean a thing, be a nice consolation, or make the year? What do you think, close to 800 votes, Derek, without looking at it, what do you think the top response of those three are?
Give me the three choices again.
Nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. Nice consolation to the year. Makes the year. Like, hey, whatever. We beat the Chiefs.
I think A.
Doesn't mean a thing.
Yep.
Out of 800 votes, 48% said that exact same thing. It doesn't mean a thing.
Because it really doesn't.
37% said a nice consolation. And only 15% of people said, yeah, that's it. Makes the year. You know,
I just hope both teams have a really good time.
This is an interesting thing to look at. So on Tuesdays, and this could be relatively depressing looking at the numbers and the stats, but if you look, Broncos media actually does a great job with this. It really gives you in like 4 pages kind of a summation of, you know, where the teams are, who's doing what. It's an information guide on the game itself. Well, one of the things they do, and normally I don't bother and pay attention to it because who cares? But it shows you, Derek, if you look at this, in bold are Broncos wins, and not in bold are Kansas City wins. And right there, boy, does that stand out like a sore thumb when you look at that, and you see 13 straight losses in a row. Look at that. Because bold is win and not bold isn't. It just stands out because it's not in bold. And you just look at what happened on, well, your year, dude, your year. November 15th, 2015, you guys lose 29-13. I mean, we remember the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Peyton Manning horrible first half game. It was 20-0 at halftime. So the Broncos, with Brock Osweiler, did outscore the Chiefs 13-9 in the second half. I mean, it wasn't nearly enough. But, I mean, you know, you play better. But who would have thought that that would start a streak of 13 losses in a row? Now, I want you to do something. This is a fun exercise. I'm just doing it here because I've done it in the past, but I want you to flip to the first page. In the 60s, or this third page, I guess. In the 60s, the Broncos were terrible, right? I mean, they were just god-awful. Look at from 1960 to 1963, and you will see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Why does it say Dallas for the first, from 60 to 62?
Yeah, that's a good question. Was Dallas the Chiefs? They were, huh?
Really?
So there were the Cowboys and the Chiefs. That's where the Kansas City came from? Got a little history lesson here?
No, they were the Dallas Texans, weren't they?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they were. I think they were in Dallas before they moved to
the Dallas Chiefs. Texans were the Kansas City Chiefs.
Pretty sure. Okay. I'm like 99% sure.
Damn good question there, son. I never even saw that before.
Even they were able to sneak a win in there.
Well, that's my point. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 losses, and what happened in 1964 on October 11th? What happened? The Broncos won. What did they do after it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They lost 11. And then what happened?
They won in 1970.
The Broncos won. And what happened after that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Then they won back to back.
And then you stop counting because then it's win, losses, wins, and all that sort of stuff, right? But how the hell, Derek, when the Broncos were so terrible, I mean, god awful, did they sneak out a win after 8 straight losses and then sneak out a win after 11 straight losses after that? How the hell did they do it? How the hell did the worst time in the franchise's history squeak out a win twice after 2 huge losing streaks, and you turn to this Broncos team and they've lost 13 in a row? How did it happen? And maybe the really question is, how is it happening now? And so when you say it
total domination,
and so just to keep it in perspective, we put a survey out there in light of these miserable statistics of what's going on with the Broncos and the Chiefs, and the response is, it doesn't even matter to most people. Most people out of 800 voters don't even care if you were to break.
Yeah, but they don't care about anything right now. They're just like, you know what, whatever.
Right.
Because what's the point? What's the point of caring, really caring?
But, I mean, I'm not going to ignore, I guess, the, you know, 37% that said, hey, it's a nice consolation, and the 15% who would say it would make the year. I actually think it would make people angrier. Can I run that past you? I know that sounds ridiculous.
make it more mad.
Well, because it would be like, well, then why now?
Yeah.
Why now? Like, you blew it this year. This would
we blew a lot of those games. We blew a lot of those games.
We had them, like, the kneecap. We should have beat him the kneecap.
Should have batted Matt Moore kneecap game. Was the Matt Moore kneecap game when Keenum overshot DT?
Yep.
Was that the same game?
I think so.
That was the game. James Marilat is with us. Am I right on that, James? Is my memory serving me correctly?
No, I think the Matt Moore kneecap game was 30-6.
Oh, it was a blowout?
They blew out the Broncos even without Mahomes.
Okay.
The Keenum game was DT, so that had to be, what, 17 or 18? What year was Keenum? I think it was 18. And it was a close game. And they were 27-23. Yeah, going north in the fourth quarter down the east sideline, had him wide open.
Wide open.
Go ahead, touchdown, and overshot him.
It was just, and that's like, that is one of the most, that particular pattern is maybe the easiest throw to make. I mean, they practice it literally all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you got to make that throw in high school, let alone in the NFL.
James Marilat, DenverFan.com, joins us courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. What would a victory over the Chiefs actually mean to you?
Oh, you know what? I actually think that would be a big positive. I think there's a chance Nathaniel Hackett sticks around. I think one of the things he has to do in order to save his job is beat the Chiefs. This is his best chance. He's not going into Arrowhead on, what is that, January 1st and winning that game. So I think it's one of the things he has to do. I still think he has to win 2 or 3 other games, but Arizona's winnable. The Rams is a winnable game. I think it's been a dismal season. It's a terrible offense. But if he can say, hey, we're 6-11. We beat the Chiefs. We had 9 losses by 1 score or less. He and George Payton are going to talk themselves into another year in my book, which I don't think should happen, but I do think that's what's going to happen.
Why are you shaking your head, Derek?
I'm with Derek, considering him keeping his job is out of control.
I'll believe it when I see it that Nathaniel Hackett is gone, because when Nathaniel Hackett's gone, George Payton has to be gone too.
I don't think so.
Oh, you're going to let the guy who made that decision go with Nathaniel Hackett?
Oh, yeah. Hey, James, it would be a big mistake. Don't get me wrong. But I can see it actually happening. I ran this scenario. Listen, we're going to disagree about this. And I've thought deeply about it. I think you got to do whatever you can to get Caleb Williams, which basically means tanking. And I would still say get Peyton Manning to run the show and convince Sean Payton to be here. Tank for Caleb Williams. That's my plan.
Well, I would get Peyton Manning to run the show.
Hold on. But the reason why that's my plan, James, is it did hit me today that the biggest problem is Russell Wilson.
Well, that's where you and I disagree.
I know. And I mean, I told you that.
And look, I think he's a part of the problem. I don't think
he's the main problem. He's the biggest problem.
No, he's not. I mean, look, Peyton Manning, if his top five skill position players in a game were Kendall Hinton, Latavius Murray, Greg Dulcich, Brandon Johnson, and Eric Saubert, he wouldn't get anything accomplished either. He just wouldn't.
And Derek, what were you hearing about Russell Wilson today?
He's the one calling the plays.
Yeah, but if you give him two or three plays and they all suck, it's not his fault that it doesn't work. Like,
yeah, but he's also missing. He's missing easy throws and obvious throws.
Look, when you go
back, he can't get around very well. He can't see over the offensive line. When you can't see over the offensive line, you can't get around anymore. It's not going to be good.
Well, he doesn't move like he used to. And one of the things I would tell him, if he was asking for my advice, and there's a bunch of it to come his way. One of the things would be, hey, you got to come in 15, 20 pounds lighter next year. Like, this ain't working.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Why?
His whole life, Brock Huard said, is that he comes into camp chunky.
Well, that's not going to fly anymore.
Well,
I
told the story that I watched the Shaquille O'Neal documentary on HBO Max, and Phil Jackson, when Shaquille was visiting, told Shaquille, get that log and swim out to that island and come back, and let's see if you're serious about stuff. And Shaquille did it. And then he said, you got to drop the movies, the rap, all the stuff that you're doing if you're really serious about it. And Shaquille did. And
there you go.
Oh, okay. And,
why
and Phil
can't
Jackson.
Do that?
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm dead serious. Look.
Really? Because he's got, you're going to make me mad, James. He's got Air Wilson. He's got clothing stores.
Fine.
He's got model
Air
suits.
Wilson.
Fine.
He's got,
fine.
He's got Cannes Film Festival.
Threes.
Fine.
The three
he
hat.
Also, he also is.
On Labor Day weekend, he went to New York and sat in a box and wore sunglasses at night. And he made an appearance on CNBC talking about Carrier air conditioning systems.
I get it. And Shaq made Kazam.
But beforehand.
And he stopped.
So you think Russell Wilson is going to rededicate himself and stop all the garbage and come back and really want to win? He's
going
to put it all the way. He's not going to travel with his wife. He's not going to do appearances.
I'm not saying any of that stuff, but you don't have to be front and center with it all the time. I would tell him, hey, are you a football player or are you a celebrity? You got to pick one. And
what do you think he is, James?
What's that?
What do you think he is?
Right now he's a celebrity, but I think he wants to be a football player.
Why?
He cares about his legacy.
What makes you think that?
He wants to go down as somebody who was among the best quarterbacks of all time, and right now, if he'd have retired before he got traded to Denver, he was going to be in Trident and Canton. Right now, he wouldn't. That would be the point-blank truth that I would give him. If you had such a bad year, you've tarnished your legacy, you have to bounce back from that, and the number one thing you have to do is dedicate yourself to being a football player. So drop 15 to 20 pounds, get rid of Jake Keeps, get rid of your office, just come be one of the guys, whoever we bring in as the offensive coordinator, embrace what they do, and go be a football player and stop trying to be a CEO and a head coach and a celebrity and all the other things you're doing. That would be my ultimatum to him. And if he doesn't want to do it, then you say, well, you're going to be the most expensive backup in the history of the game.
And James, you and I actually view it the same. I just don't think he's going to do any of those things.
Well,
keep the main thing the main thing.
And I have no idea.
Football.
I have no idea what evidence you have to think he will.
He's going
to
be the comeback player of the year 2023.
Well, that's what James thinks.
If they went 8-9, I don't think anything would change. When you go 4-13 or whatever they'll probably turn out, you have the worst offense in football. You've scored 10 points or less in 6 out of the 11 games he started. Or, sorry, 6 out of 12 total. He didn't start the other one. But still, 6 out of 12 games, you've scored 10 points or less. Like, there's no arguing of whether this works or doesn't work with the way Russell Wilson's doing it. There's no arguing it. My commitment would be, we're going to go get you some talent in terms of skill position players. We're going to shore up the offensive line. I heard you talking about how you got a tank. I'm not going to tank. They have like $17, $18 million worth of cap space. You cut Graham Glasgow and a couple other people. That's up to $30 million. What do you do with the 12 you have left from this year? You roll that over. There's so much money they can go spend on people. There's no reason to tank next year.
Why did Tony Romo stop playing football to be a comfortable broadcaster?
Because he kept hurting his back. Because he got hurt in a preseason game in Seattle. Russell Wilson just got,
okay.
You sure it wasn't
because he just yearned for something different and he was over it? He just had done whatever he wanted to do in his life and he wanted to move on to something else?
Maybe, but no, if you watch the football life on Tony Romo, the way that guy like used to go throw hundreds and hundreds of passes a day because he was obsessed with how the laces came off his fingers, I think he would have played till he was Tom Brady.
Let me back this up to something you can understand.
Andrew Luck didn't want to play football anymore. He longed for something else.
Derek, why'd you stop playing football?
Because my hips were done.
Could you have still done it?
Yeah.
Why'd you stop?
Because I wouldn't have been able to do it at a high level.
Okay. James, why did you stop playing? What was your favorite sport when you played in high school?
Probably basketball or baseball.
Pick one.
Basketball.
Why'd you stop playing basketball competitively?
Because I was 6 foot and could barely touch the rim.
Baloney. You could have played at a Division III school. You could have played at a smaller place. There's a lot of places out there. Wait, hold on, James. You could have gone to junior college. You could have done something else.
I didn't want to live in Kearney, Nebraska.
Ask me.
I wanted to go to SMU and CU.
That's right. Why didn't I
want to be great.
You were done. Why didn't I pursue baseball if I was into it that much, which I was when I was a kid?
Because you'd rather go to Syracuse.
And you know what Syracuse didn't have? Like CU? Baseball team.
Baseball team.
And I got into Ithaca and Emerson, low-level baseball. Both had baseball teams, could have played on either team. But you know what? I just came to a point in my life where I realized I'm done with it.
But you didn't just sign a deal that was going to keep you playing for another 7 years. I mean,
yeah,
it's
I had
a
I
deal
had,
that was after the
first. I had to move on. I had to move on to something else in my life. Russ doesn't have to do it. There's nothing that's going to motivate him to drop 15 pounds and come back and be some sort of.
He's enjoying this year. You think does he look like he's having a good time?
I don't know how. I don't know him at all.
So does he want?
I have no idea. I would have no idea if he's enjoying it or not enjoying it. I would have no clue.
Well, but common sense tells you, and your eyes tell you when you look at him, and he just looks like a
you'll
man
get there.
On the sidelines.
You'll get James. You'll get there eventually. You're not there yet. It's cool. It's good.
Okay. Well, listen.
You're not there yet. You'll get there though.
He's going to be here next year. You're not going to eat the $100 and some million.
You can
spread it out.
You can. You can, baby.
They're also not going to, because they owe him a lot of guaranteed money. They would have paid him $150 million for this season.
James,
they if
you do what
I know, that's what I keep saying. There's no way.
They're not doing that. But here's the thing.
Well, they can, though. You say they're not going to, and I agree with you. They're probably not going to, but you're not saying they can't do it. They actually could do it,
okay.
And they could tank it out just like the Texans are this year, and you can go get Caleb Williams in the 2024 draft. You could do it. Are you willing to do it? Do you want to do it? Those are different questions than if you can't do it.
But if he's the problem, right? Here's the thing. I go get him the pieces that I think he needs. If you're right, you don't need the tank. He's going to suck bad enough you get there anyway. If I'm right, you don't need the tank. Like, it all plays itself out next season either way. If it's not a Hackett problem,
not
if it's
not
a surrounding cast problem, if it is a Russ problem, you're going to be terrible anyway. So what's the difference?
Your best chance of tanking is
chubby Russell Wilson running around.
I would rather win no games, zero games, and know my franchise is doing the best they can for the future. Zero games, rather than win 6 or 7 games with Russell Wilson next year.
I have no interest in winning 6 or 7 games either. I'm with you on that. I just don't think that's going to happen. They're not going to win 6 or 7 games this year, barring a miracle.
Oh, I was being optimistic for next year.
Come on now. You haven't seen anything throughout the season where he makes plays late in games, where he moves around, where he makes a big-time throw. Watch the throw he made to Dulcich against the Panthers.
To convert third downs,
nobody blocks anybody. Watch that from the end zone.
You're exhausting
nobody
me.
Blocks anybody.
To convert third downs more often, the quarterback has to be willing, according to Nathaniel Hackett yesterday, to occasionally run for a third down, and we don't have that guy. And until we have that guy, you're screwed.
He ran twice on the final drive in 3 plays. Like, Nathaniel Hackett, you're putting any stock in what that guy says?
Yeah, because I've watched a bunch of film. We've watched a detailed film breakdown, and there are actually plays there, Derek. There's throws there.
Yeah.
There's plays to be had.
There's plays to be had.
And then there's also a play in where there's three guys on the left side and they all just run straight and nobody runs a route.
Yeah, like, there's
what
that
the hell
too.
Is that? Mm-hmm.
There's that too.
What's going to happen? Well, what are you supposed to do as a quarterback when you've got three guys all on the left side running what looks like clear out?
I get it. I saw that too. I know exactly what you're talking about. Saw the same exact play. I saw it.
It
was bad. You're right.
It's not all Russ, and it's part
not
of
all
the
Russ.
Trust,
but
part
the
trust,
but the biggest but see, that's the problem. If part of it is your quarterback, and your quarterback's the most important player, that means the biggest problem is the quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm not going to eat $150 million till I know it's not the coach, till I know it's not the surrounding cast. And once I do, and now it's okay, I got to eat $80 million.
Yeah, you bring a new coach in, you bring a new coach, hire a new offensive staff.
That's the
maybe make Clint
thing
the actual offensive coordinator.
Not a guy who the last time he called plays, he got fired 11 games into the season.
Hey, James, I just have one word for you.
Go Buffs? That's two.
Teflon James.
Nope. Listen, Derek's kind of on board. I don't know. He sounds
that
like
was the moment he turned, that was the moment to turn off James' mic.
I just think that you need to get a coach in there that is going to be able to
control it. We love you, James. We'll read all about DenverFan.com. James Merrillat. DenverFan.com, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat for my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at GreatRangeBison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.